call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
Live from New York and broadcasted worldwide
on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Amazon Echo, Apple TV, Siri, and all mobile streaming devices.
Welcome to Productivity 360, your platform for all things productivity.
With your host, Dr. Vernet A. Joseph,
a.k.a. Mr. Productivity. It's time to talk productive.
Welcome back to Productivity 360, folks. I'm your man, Dr. Vernet A. Joseph, and I'm super excited to bring you the best and the brightest every Friday right here on Bashani and Worldwide. I first want to say thank you. Thank you again to everyone who has been sharing, commenting, and leaving reviews online. It really means the world to me. Remember what I always tell you, folks. Everything is better when we are productive. Everything is better when we are productive. Today, I simply want to talk to you about this particular topic. We're going to be talking about leading productively in uncertainty. Leading productively in uncertainty. This is where we are today, folks. We need to lead productively in the midst of uncertainty. Yes, we've been thrown many, many things in 2020. COVID has rocked the world, not just your state, not just your county, but the world. And now here we are in the middle of racial tension. Yes, everyone is talking about the situation at hand. We had a young man by the name of George Floyd who was murdered. Let's be clear, murdered in broad daylight by the police. Now, what I want to do is make sure that we don't start moving from our feelings and emotions. We want to talk specific to what it truly is. When I look at the entire situation, as I've been saying for the past couple of days, this is a humanity issue. And I say that it's a humanity issue because no human being deserves to be treated in such a manner. We're not going to dive into all the specific and gruesome details of it. But what I want to show people how important it is to get to the bottom of a situation early. In the military, we would call this bottom line up front. Give me the meat and the bolts of the situation. The situation and the meat of the bolts of it right now, as we know it, is humanity was disregarded. No human being should be treated the way that George Floyd was treated unto his death. So when we take the name, the emotions, the feelings, the race, the gender, the history, and any other of things that we can put in the way to cloud what it really is, and we ask ourselves, what if that were you? Or say me, because you have to make it personal. What if it were you? What would you be saying now? What if it were your son? What if it were your uncle, your cousin? What if it were your brother? What if it were your loved one? And we will take out everything else simply because none of those things matter. What matters is people treatment. And no one should be treated like this. You know, as I think about this situation, I'm reminded of the Pledge of Allegiance. One nation, under God, indivisible, with justice and liberty for all. Justice and liberty for all. That was not the case. And when I think about all of this, I begin to also think about what are the code of conduct and code of ethics when it comes to law enforcement. You know, and as I've researched this thing, I find that as a law enforcement officer, the oath and the code and oath of ethics says that my fundamental duty is to serve mankind, to safeguard lives and property, and to protect the innocent against deception, the weak against oppression or intimidation, and the peaceful against violence or disorder, and to respect the constitutional rights of all people, that is, to liberty, equality, and justice. Listen, just off of the code of ethics that I read into your hearing, we can all, no matter who you are, where you come from, what side of the train tracks you're on, what your pedigree is, how much money you have in the bank, we can all agree that this was not the case. And what I want you to understand is this. All we want people to get through their heads is this was an act against humanity. And any act, any incivility against one is an incivility against all. So I'm going to leave that right there. Now I want to dive into roughly about five things that I think you can do to lead productively in the midst of uncertainty. The very first thing that I would challenge anyone to do, despite your industry, is to be real and to be raw about the situation. Do not sugarcoat it. Despite the emotion, despite the connection, despite the feeling, do not sugarcoat it. Because again, an act of incivility against one is an act of incivility against all. Can we all agree that a life is worth much more than a dollar amount, a possession, or a status? I think we all can agree on that. And if we can, then we can get past pretty much anything. And what you want to do is peel the onion back and find out what the root of the matter really is. The community truly is struggling. And we need, we demand, we want answers. But I've got to be honest with each and every one of you who may be listening to the sound of my voice. Answers are not going to come from sidebar talks. It's not going to come from water cooler conversations. Answers are going to come when you stand up and you set a standard. And that standard is this is unacceptable. It is time for America and the world, because as you can see, there are people in all 50 states that are protesting. There are people in all countries that are standing up and saying that this is not right. So what do we do, Dr. Vern? I say we step up for humanity above all else. I'm going to say that again. We step up for humanity above all else. So what does this mean? It means that there must be an overhaul of our justice system worldwide to eradicate the mentality and acceptance of murdering Black, Brown, and any race without accountability. I served in the United States military for 20 plus years. I fought for my country for 20 plus years. The very freedoms that I fought for are the freedoms of someone not to agree with me, not to like me, and may not like my situation. But at the end of the day, folks, none of that matters, because what we are calling for is civility in action. No longer in word, but in actual deed. In the United States military and across all the forces, we had something called the Uniform Code of Military Justice. How do you bring people from all walks of life, from all races, from everywhere together and cause them to become a brother and a sisterhood? How do you put those very same people with many different thoughts and ways and walks of life together and send them overseas to fight for freedom and give them 210 rounds to defend themselves and they not kill each other? It's called building a bond of unity. We must become what we say we want. One nation, under God, indivisible, with justice and liberty for all, not for some, not for a race, not for a few, but for all. And when we get to this point in our lives, that is when the world will become a better place. A few questions that I've polled and I've asked the youth, and the youth are simply asking, why haven't there been laws made to fix police brutality by now? Why isn't there a zero toleration policy for brutality? Why should a police officer get to be placed on paid leave after murdering someone? Is police brutality a conversation and a topic in training at the academy? What is the best way to enact change or participate in protesting peacefully? Why are rubber bullets and tear gas allowed to be at peaceful protests? These are questions that our youth are asking, and they deserve answers. They deserve answers. America, our world, we must do better. It is time for us to be civil above all else. It is time for us to put humanity above all else. Human lives matter. And when we say that, I want you to understand the gravity of what is being said. Every person matters. The reason that we are in this pandemic to begin with this COVID, is because it started with one. And if we understood the power of one, and how one person getting sick can truly affect the entire world, we would start respecting each other just a little bit more. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I hope that this is making sense to you. I hope that you are understanding why it is important. Do not dismiss what I'm saying. Do not turn the dial, because it's important for us to get to the bottom of what's really going on. Excessive force, police brutality, these things must be addressed and they must be stopped, period. Period. Do we believe that we have our brothers and sisters in blue who are doing a dynamic job? Let me stop right now and say this. I applaud the police officers who are standing up and actually operating under the oath in which they took to get the badge. But for those who disrespect themselves, their unit, and their squads by doing foolishness and acting outside of humanity and civility, you should be punished to the full extent of the law. Uniform Code of Military Justice for the military didn't have a bias. It wasn't part of racism. It was a system that was set in place to keep structure, discipline, and order. And it should be the exact same for our police officers, for our federal employees, for employees across the globe. Let me share just a few things with you that I truly believe will shift and shape our world as we move forward. First and foremost, as a retired combat veteran of the U.S. Army, I have been on the front lines in the battlefields of war, serving my country and making sure that I did whatever was necessary to fight for freedom, being in some of the most austere locations in the world. Living in Europe for over 10 years, I've got to tell you that it has opened my mind and my eyes to see many things. And as stated earlier, I have fought and defended the very freedom given to those who may not like me, may not appreciate me, or even respect me. But I would have never, and I'm going to say never, ever imagined that in 2020, we would still be dealing with systemic racism. The past few weeks, honestly, truly, have simply been appalling, to say the least. And in America and across the world, we are experiencing not only a global pandemic, but the epidemic of racism, and race has been something that we, as African Americans, have been battling for well over 400 years. So the time, I must tell you, is now. It's now time for a new voice, it's time for change, but we need a mind, we need a mentality, and we need a way of doing business and living life that will transform our world. And here's what I propose. I propose productive business and civility in action as a new paradigm. I'm reminded of a quote that God gave me years ago. This is where business and people are of equal value. Civility is meant to be contagious, so it's time for us as a people to spread it with love. Did you know the high cost of business incivility is bad attitudes becoming contagious and becoming destructive to the bottom line of any organization? Did you know that 30% of business profits are lost because of incivility in the workforce? I'm talking about things like employee retention, morale, customer engagement, leadership breakdown, trust in the workforce, and I can go on and on and on. To those who are listening, what would your business look like if you had 30% more profit? Well, let me share this. I highly recommend to businesses, corporations, educational institutions, and governmental structures across the globe to invest and put your influence, your time, your effort, your energy, and your money into developing right here. Here it is. Offices of civility now in preparation of post-COVID and the George Floyd rioting situation. Let me give you five practices that no matter where you are on the globe that you can actually use to start this process. The first thing that I would tell you is you have to embrace equality in diversity. Everyone needs to be treated with respect and dignity. The second thing would be develop a culture and a dialogue that promotes proper people treatment and civility in action. The third thing that I would say to you is to champion civility within the business arena, the education arena, the government rank structure, and anything else that your city, state, region, or continent may need. I challenge each of you, if you want to know more about this, you can contact me. But here's the kicker. We need to develop an office of civility. Some type of liaison, something similar to equal opportunity, but at a grander scale, that has the authority to govern acts of incivility at all levels, monitoring the civility temperature and pulse of an organization to maximize productivity and spot cancerous behaviors before getting out of hand. See, the issue is not to try to police it after the fact. The issue is to get in front of it, train, and make sure that people don't do it. And of course, we've got to educate the workforce on civility communication and civility dynamics. The last thing that I will tell you that is imperative that we do is that we embrace, participate, and celebrate in the National Productive Business Civility Day annually on June 13th. I believe what the world needs now, and I can say this because this is my show, more than ever is Jesus. What the world needs now is a new unity, and that new unity is embracing diversity, empowering everyone to move in their own gifting and strengths for the betterment of the greater good and the greater mission. Again, I believe that it will take every man, woman, boy, girl, white, black, brown, rich, poor, middle class, etc. We must not turn a blind eye or ear to the reality of incivility and inequalities. It is time to step up and set a standard for humanity above all else. Let me give you five additional things that you can do, practical things that you can do when we talk about leading productively in uncertainty. First, as we stated, be real raw about the situation and don't sugarcoat it. Secondly, be flexible, malleable, and be prepared to shift if necessary. Thirdly, check up and check in on your people to see how they are doing and how they're dealing with the situation and ensuring that they're developing through this process. It is horrible to go through something and not grow through it. Fourth thing I would say is be sure to communicate. Communicate effectively, communicate often, communicate consistently about the situation until it is handled. And lastly, I would say, be sure as a leader to take care of yourself. You are no good to anyone if you're not mentally stable. You're no good to anyone if you're physically not well. You're no good to anyone if you're emotionally not well. And then definitely, fortify and strengthen your spirituality. I'm Dr. Vernet A. Joseph, and I'm super excited about what we need to do in our community today. It's a sad commentary where we find ourselves, but together, and I say this with all sincerity, together we can change, and together we can get better. Until next time, I'm your man, Dr. Vernet A. Joseph, and I want you to be innovative and be productive, but most of all, get out there, use your voice, and live to produce. Blessings, peace, and productivity to you.
Thank you for listening to the Productivity 360 Radio Show
with Dr. Vernet A. Joseph.
Interact with Dr. Vernet on the Productivity 360 Radio Show Facebook page.
For books, coaching, or speaking inquiries, visit livetoproduce.com.
Until next week, be productive or be replaced.
Even coronavirus can't keep us apart because we love you so much. From all of us at Bashani Radio app, stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay home.
Stay home.
And keep us blasting on your phones. Bashani Radio app, always talking about everything. Download us free in the App Store. Kaboom! You heard?